Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch got your back, Coach 96. We do got your back. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking. Heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey fam and friends, hey, welcome to Coach P's Perspective, where coaching, inspiration, and faith collide. This is your host, Coach Chad Parks, and thank you for joining me today. I'm a college All-American wrestler, coach, and the author of the best-selling book, Game Changing Moves. This background has allowed me to train elite athletes, coaches, and high performers from all walks of life. So if you need a pick-me-up, a kick in the pants, or a coach in your corner, I got you right here on Coach P's Perspective. Let's go. All right. Hey, welcome to another episode of Coach P's Perspective. I'm pumped, man. Today I have one of my good friends and I would consider a mentor in my life, Coach Tim Hess. Coach Hess is a longtime wrestler, wrestling coach, works for FCA Wrestling, and he's also a character coach for Menlo College for the men's and women's program. Both those are top wrestling programs in the nation. So Coach Hess, man, thank you for being on.
Coach, I am so thankful to be on this morning. I love your podcast, and I look forward to listening to it every week. And so to be able to sit and talk with you is a blessing.
Yes. You know, it's funny because for anyone out there who does listen to the podcast, and you could go back several episodes and you will hear people I'm interviewing bring up Coach Hess. And, you know, ultimately, I guess the wrestling world is a fairly small world, but so many people have been impacted positively by you, Coach. And, you know, I know for me, you know, we met a couple of years ago, I think online or whatever, and then we've had discussions. But, you know, during the quarantine and over the COVID period, you know, I was able to get on and you ran a Bible study for multiple coaches from across the country. And I was able to get in and do that. And what a, for me, mentally and spiritually, what a phenomenal help that was during that time. And you know, something else Coach Hess does, and he does this for many of us. I don't know how many people you do this for, Coach, but I get text messages multiple times per week, and it seems like they're just always profound, perfectly timed and uplifting. So I may be in class, and maybe you're after practice, maybe right before a tournament, and I'll get a positive text message from Coach Hess sharing a story, sharing some scripture. A lot of times I take those, I forward them. I forward those every single Friday to our head football coach at our high school. And so he told me like 3 weeks in, don't stop doing this. I look forward every Friday. I'm like waiting for your text to come through. And I'm like, hey, that's not me. That's Coach Hess. So anyway, Coach, you are a super impactful human being. And I hope someday I can look back and be like, man, I hope I can impact that many people. So love what you do.
Man, to hear that is so uplifting, man. You really fed my spirit right there. But, you know, I got that from my coach. We just talked previously about you losing your high school football coach. And my high school football coach and wrestling coach was a huge, huge influence in my life. And one of the many lessons that he taught me was, when God puts a person in your mind and he wants you to reach out to them some way, you know, with a card, the letter, with the phone call, with the text message, with the email, you do it right then and there. And so that's just one of the lessons that I've taken to heart. And so, those are coming. Those messages that you get every once in a while are coming from God. And I'm just passing them on.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, what a great thing to do, because it's funny how out of nowhere, somebody can just pop in your mind. Right. And so, yeah. So when they do, man, like find a way to reach out to them in some way. So I appreciate it over and over. But so for those who are listening and don't know your background, tell me a little bit about like where you grew up, what sports you played growing up, and then like, how did you get into wrestling and kind of this whole wrestling world?
Yes, I continue to live in Newark, California, and that's pretty much where I've been most of my life. It's in the Bay Area between San Jose and Oakland. And I, my first sport was baseball. So I started with Little League baseball. That was my dad's sport. And that's the one that he, you know, led me to, encouraged me, coached me in, early on. That was truly, the sport that I first loved and I did pretty well in, quite frankly, of all the sports, I've been told that I played, I was better at baseball than all of them. But it didn't feed my soul like some of the other sports. And so I continued to play into high school, but around sixth grade, I picked up football. So I played football in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade, and then in high school and a little bit in college. But when I was an eighth grader, seventh or eighth grader, I watched the Olympics on TV and I saw the 76 Olympics in Montreal. And I just remember clips of wrestling. And that was really my first experience to see what wrestling was all about. So I was super intrigued by what I saw. And again, the TV coverage back then wasn't as inclusive as it is now, but I saw like the Peterson brothers wrestling and I was like, wow, that looks like the sport for me. And I started looking for ways in my community to get involved, but there was really nothing going on at a club level or even in junior high where I grew up. So I had to wait till my freshman year to get involved in wrestling. And, it was a rough start for me, but I still loved it. I loved it. I got smashed every day, every duel, every tournament, but dang it, I absolutely loved it. And so it just became a part of who I was from there on out. But I was a three-sport guy throughout high school and then played two sports in college. Initially, I went to Chabot College in Hayward, wrestled there. Then I went up to Humboldt State University up in Northern California, wrestled for Coach Frank Cheek, who recently passed away. But they were a Division II powerhouse back in the day. They've unfortunately dropped their program. And then I came back home, homesick and confused, kind of a mental mess. But I came back home and I got bigger while I was up there at Humboldt and I put on about 50 pounds and said, maybe I should play some football. So I came back, played a little football and another wrestling season back at Chabot College. So yeah, that's a little bit of my athletic journey.
Yeah. Now, once you get down and playing two sports in college, man, that's tough, you know? So one of my assistant coaches right now, he did the same thing and played football and wrestled in college and back in the day. And he was in Arizona and, you know, I've talked to him. He's told me some stories about it. And that's actually something I wanted to do. So when I transferred my junior and senior year to a new school, I trained with the football team during the summer and they actually offered to split scholarship with wrestling. And my wrestling coach was not having it. So I'm not a real big guy and, you know, 149, 157 pounder. And he was like, nope, you're going to get hurt. And anyway, so I tried to talk him into it for two seasons and he wasn't having it and I wasn't going to be able to afford just a half scholarship from football. So I was like, well, I'm doing what, who's paying for my school? So, and he's probably right. I'm not a real big guy, but it would have been fun. But I have a lot of respect for anybody who's able to pull off two college sports. That's crazy. So now at what point did you realize, you know, moving past college, like, I think I want to get into education. I think I want to get into coaching.
Yeah. Yeah, education for me, most of my life was just something you had to do to keep playing sport, quite frankly. Stay eligible, put the minimum effort into it. I'm amazing and embarrassed to say that was my mindset back then. And so, yeah, I had no real direction in college in terms of a major or anything. Again, it was just about, hey, keep playing sports, keep wrestling, keep competing. And then, you know, So I bopped around from here to there, different majors, different, you know, took all kinds of different classes that led to really no kind of a degree. But at some point, I kind of realized that I needed direction. And again, it was my coach, Coach Swift, who really focused me up, as I was wandering, bouncing around from here to there with no direction. He really helped focus me up, had a nice, powerful, strong coach talk with me about doing what you love to do. Like, quit listening to people tell you what you should do, chase this money, chase that, you know, that career, but do what God created you to do. And so he really challenged me to consider teaching and coaching. And like, when I listen to my coach and follow my coaches, recommendation, things started falling into line for me. So it took a while. My athletic career ended. My wife and I got married. We started a family right away. And I started working in construction to earn, a living. And so it was a powerful, I had a powerful eye-opening revelation that led me to go back to school. I was under a trailer and I was working at a correctional facility, and I was doing some plumbing repair on a trailer we had built. And the inmates were above me showering. So it was leaking. I was crawling around basically in human filth, and it was raining, and it was disgusting. And I literally, felt like God told me, "Hey, man, I got a better plan for you than yours." So I went to a payphone, called my wife and asked her, hey, honey, what do you think about me going back to school and getting my degree, becoming a teacher?" And she was all for it. And so we worked nights, she worked days. We did what we had to do. We grounded it out and got that college degree finally, and became a teacher. My coach was instrumental in setting me up with that first teaching job in Newark, where I grew up, and started coaching with him, side by side, football and wrestling. Eventually he left wrestling to become the athletic director and football coach. And I took over for him as wrestling and continued to assist him in football. But it was a crazy journey. Major influence, again, my coaches in my life.
So did you spend your entire teaching career at Newark?
Yes, my entire teaching in Newark Unified School District, some at the continuation school, some at elementary schools, some at the main comprehensive high school, but yes, all Newark. I've done some teaching for the local community college, but Newark Unified.
Yeah. Yes. So, and how many years? Because I know you just recently retired from that, went full-time FCA wrestling. So how many years were you in education?
32 years. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yep. So 32 years there. And then were you coaching the entire time all the way through?
For most of them, football, wrestling. Then I went back to school and I got a master's degree. And around that time, I started pulling out of football and spending most of my time coaching wrestling. I mean, it was clear that was always my passion in terms of coaching and whatnot. So, but the last few years of teaching, my dad got sick. He had Alzheimer's, and he just needed more attention. One time I came home from a tournament and he was wandering the streets, literally. And my neighbor his neighbor called. So it was quite an issue, but it was an eye-opening experience. Another message that, hey, Tim, you need to change your priorities a little bit, you know? And so I kind of got out of coaching, and that's why I became an elementary PE teacher, started kind of left coaching. And but that couldn't last. that was a year of emptiness. I felt obviously something missing from my life, and I just realized that I needed to, well, I didn't feel as though God wanted me to completely pull out of having relationships with young people and helping them to become champions. And so I started looking into this, this concept of character coaching. And I saw something that FCA was hosting in Kansas City, and I went out there. My buddy Jose Campbell and I myself went out there, and we spent that weekend learning about this chaplain / character coaching possibility. And I came back extremely fired up and quite sure that this is the path that God has for me in these next few years of my life. And so I just started putting proposals together and making contact with local coaches, including our own athletic program at Newark Memorial. And that's when I connected with the Menlo College program. And man, it was clear from just day one that this character coaching move is going to be what God has in store for me. So,
yeah. So I know we've talked about this a number of times and, you know, shared stories over the years, but so I want to talk real quick about, you know, transactional coaching and transformational coaching. Mm. I know you've talked about, and I was the same way. Early in my career, I may have been a little more transactional. And then as you become hopefully a better coach and you mature, hopefully you move into being a transformational coach. So tell me a little bit about that, man, because it's powerful.
Yeah. I mean, I was a lot transactional early on. And I was not a Christian until I was in my early 30s. So I didn't have that foundation of understanding who I was, really. And so I constantly tried to fill the emptiness that was inside of me with other things, you know, other unhealthy things, including athletic achievement, including, you know, awards. I tried to fill the emptiness with things. And so when I became a coach, I was still empty. And I still tried to fill that now with coaching. And so maybe I can help these kids, but ultimately I wanted to help them help me feel better about myself. And so at some level, I got into coaching for the right reason, but I quickly got caught up in the world's view of a coach. And that included being very transactional. You know, I would do this for you and you will do this for me. And, you know, I used to just get so frustrated and depressed and down when we didn't reach the level that I thought we should have reached in our wrestling and football with our teams and whatnot. And so I just remember praying to a God I really didn't have a relationship with, but praying that, you know, oh, just let me get to this, let me get a state place, or let me get there. And we get there, and it was just not what I thought it would be, you know. So God gave me what I wanted, and only to show me that it was really quite meaningless if there's not a relationship with Him first and your student athletes. So I really changed at that point and became more of a transformational coach who was all about building champions for life is the way I've learned to describe it. So just taking every opportunity to help these young people, yes, achieve their goals in athletics, but also become better human beings and ultimately lead them into a relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. Now, what are a few of the things that, you know, we both studied 3D coaching and those type of things, but, and some people may not be familiar with those, you know, so what are some of the things that you really try to implement as a transformational coach?
You know, it was crazy, but I was just talking this morning with a coaching friend of ours, and he asked me to pray for one of his guys who didn't qualify for the Nationals, because his identity is very much tied up in his wrestling. And so now, so that's huge. And I said, wow, I'm actually developing a lesson for a team I'm going to be working with on this very thing, helping the young people to understand who they are, and more importantly, whose they are, because the beautiful thing, God made us to have relationship with him. He made us for a purpose. And so when we figure out who he is and how much he loves us and the beautiful plan that he has for our life, guess what? You can compete with freedom.
Yeah.
You can be relaxed. You can have joy in your soul, and you can let loose, have fun, and compete at your highest level. I so much did not exemplify that in my very less than stellar competitive career. If I got a takedown and if I scored 3 points in a match, man, that's cool. I'll win 3-1. Yeah. Got my shutter down because I was afraid. I had no peace. I had no joy in my heart. And so I needed to win, because if I won, I was a winner. And if I lost, I was a loser. And so I completely was the kind of wrestler that I don't want the men and women that I work with to become. Mm.
Yeah, competing with freedom, competing without putting the extra pressure on yourself, it's so huge and so much more enjoyable. I think a lot more of our athletes would stay in the sport. They would embrace the sport, and no matter what sport it is, right? They would really love it if they could walk out there and compete with freedom. And and even now, as someone who's been a head coach for 15 years and then, coached other years as an assistant, but I still got to catch myself all the time, not as being, and with my athletes, always transformational, but just my own ego, basing feelings off of wins and losses, hey, we win, feeling great on top of the world, and we lose and, feeling depressed and down and questioning yourself. And it's tough whenever you're a lifelong athlete or a coach. We want to win. Winning's fun and losing is just not fun, but putting in the proper perspective is so huge, and not easy, but huge and valuable.
Mm, so true. So true. And that's why your podcast and like you said, our coaches' Bible studies, or just the ability to connect with men and women who have this similar interests and the similar desire to glorify God in their lives and their coaching. We are not immune from the pressures of the world, but with relationships, we can build each other up. We can strengthen each other. We can challenge each other. As the proverb says, we can sharpen up each other. That's why I'm so thankful for our friendship, our relationship. Ironically, we've never met face to face other than in this Zoom format. But man, I just, I consider you a brother of mine. And so one day I will see my brother face to face and I'll hug him. And but until then, man, I'm thankful that we have this opportunity, this technology to connect with each other. It's been amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, brought a thought to my mind, because this is so important. I was thinking yesterday about, and you mentioned earlier, my football coach had passed away. You just go back and you're thinking about old memories and stuff. And I was thinking about a time where I was in the wrestling room by myself, cutting weight. I've got, back in the days where we wore plastics, and, I've got plastics on and sweats and a beanie and a hoodie up, and I'm jumping rope. And I remember Coach Atterbury comes in there and he just stands by me the whole time. And he's got me going like a minute sprint on the jump rope, and he had me exercising, but he stayed with me the whole time. And I thought, sometimes mental toughness is a lonely place. Sometimes cutting away is a lonely place. Those type of things, right? And you learn lessons in those. So having somebody with you is so huge. But as coaches, a lot of times, I can't say it's a lonely place. Like for me, like I'm blessed to have a phenomenal coaching staff around me. But I think all coaches, you spend so much time practice planning, all these various things behind the scenes that people don't even know about, travel, all this stuff. Talk to me, because I know you know this so well, having coached for 30 some years and helping coaches, and the importance of coaches connecting with other coaches or connecting with somebody who can build into their life. Because a lot of coaches don't, and they get burned out, you know, and I would guess this would be like any other profession. If you're a CEO of a company, if you're in any other sort of leadership role, it's real easy to go, 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 go. You're pouring into other people, but you don't take time and let people pour into you, right? Or be around other people. So tell me about the importance of that, like in your own life, and then even what you do right now is you really mentor people, but coaches allowing people to be in their lives.
Wow, that's a great, great question. It made me think of this image that I use sometimes with leaders, student athlete leaders or coaches, but it's called the starving baker image. It's from a Habitudes lesson that we use, but it's this image of a very gaunt, skinny, clearly underfed baker, and he's got this plate full of bagels and donuts and breads, right? And he's serving others, yet it's clear that he's starving himself, right? Yeah. And so leaders, coaches, can be like that. We are so others focused that we forget to feed ourselves. And that will lead to what you said, just burnout, exhaustion, sickness, relationship strife in other areas of our lives. God did not intend for us to be lone wolves. Like, we were made for a relationship. And God says it's not good for coaches to be alone.
Yeah.
And so, the question becomes like, who's coaching the coaches? That's a question that we ask, you know, in FCA. Coaches are so instrumental to the strength and the health of our communities. But who's coaching them up? And the answer is oftentimes no one. And so like you said, the importance of podcasts like yourselves, like yours, and our and Bible studies, conversations, phone calls, texts, emails, cards, encouraging each other and challenging each other is crucial. And so that's the way I want to spend the rest of my life. Like God put it on my heart about a year ago. Hey, I need you to go all in on this. I need you to go all in. I had plans in my mind to keep teaching until I was 62 and retire at that proper time. And he just said, no, it's going to happen this summer. And I listened to him. After I talked to my wife, we prayed about it. We did our homework. We crunched the numbers, et cetera, et cetera. But it was a clear message. And he has continued to validate our decision to do this every day, you know, creating opportunities like we have right now, and just connections, open doors. Man, it's been amazing. And I'm going to continue to do this, which is challenge and encourage coaches and wrestlers forever, because like you said, we need it. Mm-hmm. And when you find your why, two of the most crucial things in life are the day you were born and the day you figure out why you were born.
Yeah.
It took me a while to figure it out, but I figured it out. And so I'm gonna keep my foot on the gas.
Yeah, it's important to me. I can speak from my personal experience and just say that, you know, this summer, this fall, you know, whenever I was able to get on the Zooms with the other coaches, and you're in your community, right? Everybody sort of has their community. So whatever their job is, but finding other people that have your passion, that have your calling, and then hearing the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in between, and realizing you're not alone, but also just garnering wisdom from people who've been there and done it. And like, oh man, like that's a great idea. I want to use that, you know, or yep, I've been in that situation, you know, and then when you can, you know, give advice as well, but so powerful, absolutely so powerful. And it made me realize as a coach, like, man, I need to be here even more, reaching out to other coaches during their seasons and encouraging them and trying to help them, because yeah, I know how it can get, man, the amount of stress, you know, and I'm a wrestler, right? One of those tough guys. And, you know, my wife even asked me when I was driving down to my coach's funeral, you know, she called me, we're on the phone, and she says, you know, well, how are you doing? Like, I can never tell, you know, cause I got a good poker face. And I'm one of those people in a wrestling match, you would never tell if I was tired or not, or when I work out, I never look tired because I've trained myself to do that. And, you know, so, but even if you're one of those guys, you still have emotions, you still have these other things that you have to be able to deal with. And it takes, like you said, we were not made to be alone, you know, so that's, it's huge and valuable. Now, you were connecting, or you were talking about FCA. How did you initially get connected with FCA and helping out and just the whole FCA thing? And now, you know, you're able to do that full time, which I think is amazing. But how'd you initially get connected?
Yes, tremendous. Way that God brought me to FCA and some of the strongest relationships I have through that was we went to, I just looked them up one day. I had another coach again, who was a Christian man in my office. And I just looked up FCA online one time, and I found this Coaches and Spouses Weekend. It was in Southern California. I didn't know anybody in the organization, but it was inexpensive. It was right after wrestling season, and it was in a nice hotel with great food. So I'm like, honey, do you want to go? Of course. So we just flew down there, did not know a soul. And it was a wonderful spread, great speakers, and time to be alone. Again, right after wrestling season, a good time to repair some relationship issues with my wife, and thank her for, you know, being such a champ through the season. So I'm standing in line in the food line, and this guy saunters next to me. And during introductions, we both kind of realized that we're wrestling guys. And that was my buddy, Jose Campo. And he had been coaching at FCA summer camps, then at UC Santa Barbara. And so he invited me to join him that summer. During that event, we also got some camp scholarships. So I was able to bring my daughters and a couple other kids from the high school. That led us to have a huddle on campus. And then I've just been a volunteer in various ways with FCA, and then FCA wrestling specifically, you know, for 20 or so years, until this summer, when again God said, hey man, it's time to go all in.
Yeah. And the FCA is, it's been impactful in my life. I mean, before I gave my life to Christ as a freshman in college when I was 19 I guess. Because it was my freshman year, so I think I just turned 19, and about a month later gave my life to Christ. But when I was a junior in high school, I had a football coach, one of our assistant coaches that had just moved in. And it was my sophomore, junior year, but he just moved in and started an FCA huddle. And, you know, a lot of the athletes started going. So I was like, oh, I guess I'll go check this thing out. And the way we did it was one day a week over lunch at school. And he ran it, and we'd grab your lunch, you'd go to this room and sit down. And anyway, I thought the coach was pretty cool, and he was my position coach. And like, oh, I'll be in there. But God started like working on my heart, man, through FCA, slowly but surely, you know. And then I became a Christian. And then when I transferred to another school that had an FCA program, and I was able to kind of get involved. But then it was like I wasn't ever really around FCA again until I was a teacher and a coach. And then all of a sudden had an opportunity to get involved in it and see the impact it makes. And there's a lot of other great ministries out there, right, within schools or on college campuses. But FCA is huge. And then FCA wrestling has really picked up a lot of steam these last few years. And it's just growing and growing. And So tell me the importance of FCA wrestling specifically. FCA serves coaches in every sport, but FCA wrestling, it's kind of its own entity. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, like it's clear to me and I know you that God is doing some crazy, amazing things in our sport. Like the number of men and women, coaches and wrestlers in our sport who are so bold, strong, in their faith is mind blowing to me. And he just continues to shine his light on our sport and on our wrestlers and coaches as they glorify him through their efforts. And so I'm just wrestling's such a great sport. I mean, I call it humankind's oldest and greatest sport. It offers so many opportunities to really become a champion for life. Like, it's such a perfect laboratory for challenge and struggle and, you know, perseverance, persistence, good old fashioned hard work. There's so many tremendous lessons that can be gained from our sport. And it's such an opportunity. Our sport offers such an opportunity to, again, find out who you are, whose you are, and really connect with God in a deep and meaningful way. So, that's why I'm so fired up about FCA wrestling being part of the team, man. There's some tremendous men and women who are associated with the organization, just dedicated to using the platform of wrestling to share their faith in Jesus with all whom they come in contact with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's so many incredible coaches. I mean, yourself, Coach Campo, you know, Coach Pete, Heath Esslinger, and Mark Ellis. I mean, so many guys across the country who have gone full-time FCA wrestling and helping coach the coach. Right. And then just as an organization, I mean, I know it's been 5 or 6 years ago now, but FCA wrestling scholarshiped me to go to the NWCA Leadership Academy, you know? And so this was like a $7,000 cost. I mean, I did almost a semester worth of work. I think it was through Michigan State on coaching, and the FCA wrestling paid for that and then flew me out to, you fly into St. Louis, but you go over to Illinois and you spend days, and it was mostly college coaches and only a couple of us were high school coaches, but what a great leadership growth opportunity. And it was all funded through FCA wrestling. You know, I wouldn't have done that myself, you know, and FCA wrestling did that to allow me to become a better coach and then go back and teach those same things to my coaches on my staff, you know, who are some of my best friends, but we got to go over those things together. And so you guys are making a real impact for coaches across the nation. For anyone listening, look, if you're a wrestling coach, look up FCA wrestling. If you haven't heard of it, find a representative in your area. Anybody else listening that's just involved in sports, man, if your school doesn't have FCA huddles or FCA, you know, go to FCA.org, I'm assuming, but you will probably find somebody close to you who has FCA that you can get with. You can talk to them about what you need to do to get going, because it is powerful. So, all right, let's move over to, you talked about character coaching and going to Menlo, working with the men's and women's team at Menlo. What are some of the things that you teach, like what are some of the things you do in that role as a character coach? Cause it's crazy important and valuable, and you've impacted some major people who I've become close friends with, but what do you do as a character coach?
Yeah. I mean, initially, I want to serve, the team, the coaches, I want to do whatever is needed. And that means mop the mats, sometimes I get a drill with the guys, sit in their corner, encourage them, hug them, build relationships. That's my first. Service is my first. Second, I want to build relationships. I want them to understand and appreciate the fact that I love them and are there for them, coaches and wrestlers. As that relationship starts to develop, then then we can start speaking into their lives a little bit. And so Coach Martinez has opened the doors and welcomed me with such open arms and love and appreciation. It gives me opportunities to speak life into these men and women. And one way is through something we call Wednesday Wisdom. So I get to meet with the men and women in a lecture hall, basically. And we take them through, you know, we have icebreakers, we have fun, we play games, and then we dig into a lesson. And it could be about accountability or like identity. We do some mindset stuff, but we're really trying to dig into one character skill that is needed, that is something that's going to help them become a better wrestler, 100%, but also again a champion for life, something that's going to take them far beyond the wrestling room. You know, one of the things we talk about is like, if all you get out of your time at Menlo College is a degree and a national championship, that's just not enough. Like we think that's a loss. Like we want you to get those two things, but we also want you just to be an amazing, you know, future husband, father, wife, mother, friend, you know, we want you to really have skills that will take you to the next level in all your future endeavors. So, it's presence, and it's again those Wednesday Wisdom lessons. It's van rides. It's arm around, giving guys hugs after their losses, after their career ends, having conversations, text messaging, phone calls. It's all about relationship, really.
Yeah. I, thinking about that, I mean, I really wish I would have had something like that as an athlete. Oh. It would have been huge. So hopefully you have a good coach and you're able to build a relationship with your coach, but they're also coach. It would have been good at times to have somebody else that you could talk to and you could ask questions to. And coach is also busy, right? He's dealing with all these guys on the team or all these girls on the team. So somebody that you could ask questions to, and something I think is so valuable and I think also really lacking in college sports is a transition. How do you transition out of it? Right. We just think like, okay, you go to college, like you said, you get a degree, you compete in your sport, and then you go get a job. And it's not the same as somebody who comes back from war. You know, they have to make that adjustment. But whenever you've been doing a sport your entire life, and a lot of college athletes have been, right? At least the vast majority of their lives, and it's become kind of who you are. Hopefully your identity is in Christ, but I mean, it's kind of your job, right? I mean, it's what you're focused on. If you want to be the best, your eating, your sleeping, your recovery, your weightlifting, your practice time, all that is to become the best athlete you can be in your sport. And that's done consistently over and over and over and over for years upon years. So you get done competing, and maybe you have an opportunity to become a professional baseball player, football player, but we know it's, 0.001% or whatever. Maybe you have an opportunity to become an Olympic wrestler, probably even a smaller percentage. So what do you do? I know for me, like I always said, I loved Barry Sanders. I'm an OU football guy, but I love Barry Sanders growing up. He's my favorite running back from Oklahoma State. Got to go to a lot of his games and had his poster on my wall. And Barry Sanders said in the offseason, he wouldn't even think about football. He would just lift weights to stay healthy and strong, but he would give himself a mental break for a little bit. Oh, it's a great idea. So after wrestling season, I'd kind of try to have that mindset. And of course, you're still thinking about it and doing training and stuff. But I always thought like, okay, with weightlifting, I lift because I love to lift. I've been lifting since I've been a little kid. My dad used to do some bodybuilding, and I started doing 100 pushups a day when I was 5. My dad made me do that. Started lifting when I was like 9, and I thought I was lifting. I was carrying around like 5-pound dumbbells and doing whatever my dad was doing, But anyway, I would say I lift because I love lifting. When I got done competing and then I transitioned right into being a college coach, and I remember going in lifting and just being like, where's my fire? Mm. And then I realized, like, you know what? I always thought I loved lifting, but I loved chasing a state title. I loved chasing a national title. And all of a sudden, I literally don't have that opportunity anymore. You know, kind of like, dang, one of the solids in my life, lifting, is not even passionate anymore. And then many nights I'm laying in bed thinking about like the things I did not achieve in my career, wanted to achieve. And I'm like breaking out literally into a cold sweat because I can't compete anymore. I'm done. I have no more wrestling, you know, no more. I mean, you could go to like an old timers tournament or something, but that's not the same as trying to win a national title. So for athletes that are transitioning out, like, how do you do it? So I think like for you as a character coach and a mentor who becomes a lifelong mentor, that's huge. So for you as someone who has been a college athlete and transitioned out and worked with college athletes, what are some of the things you would say to those people? Because I've thought about this a lot. Like, man, there's a real empty space there. Mm-hmm. And again, hopefully you know Christ, but I knew Christ coming out and I still felt like, who am I now? Really? Like, okay, I know I follow Jesus, love Jesus. I want to be a teacher and a coach, but also, there's this whole huge gap over here that I've trained for my whole life. It's gone. Mm-hmm. So what are some of those things that people that are transitioning out should be looking at?
Man, that's really good question. Really good question. And I don't, that's like a topic really that I need to get better at, quite frankly. As you're talking about this, I'm like, wow, this is an area that we need to learn more about and help these young people transition, like you said, into life beyond college athletics. Now, like, God put that passion in your life and you have regained that passion for, you know, strength and conditioning in your own life, right? And so somehow he re-sparked it in you to where you love it. I love it. But yes, you were still empty. And there was a time where you struggled with, again, who you were, even though you had him in your life. You were missing that daily grind, if you will. I think that I know that we need to find something to replace that. We need to find something that is good for us and healthy and challenges us and allows those competitive juices to continue to flow. And, you know, so I do, as some of our seniors, as they're getting, you know, ready to move on to that next level of life, I'm constantly reminding them, you definitely got to think about how and what you're going to do to fill this, because you're going to fill it. You're going to fill that time, that energy with something. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they get caught up in the wrong kinds of things. Yeah. But like, for example, yeah, for me, I got into triathlon and I'm into Spartan racing. So those are some of the competitive athletic events that help me continue to be that part of the person that God made me to be, right? Mm-hmm. It's not who I am. And when I race at those triathlon Spartan races, I do race with joy and I do compete with the sole goal to bring attention to the Lord. But and so I'm able to actually apply the lessons that I'm trying to teach these young people, those lessons that I didn't have earlier in life. And now I'm actually able to use them in competition. And that's a blessing, you know, that's another opportunity to serve people and lead people to God now in this other competitive environment. One of the things we like to talk about is you compete every day. I didn't make that up, but compete every day means better than yesterday. Better than yesterday, not better than so-and-so, not better than that team, but better than you were yesterday, just getting a little bit better. And that's something that God wants us to do every day, like continue to conform ourselves closer and closer to him. And so, yeah, but I agree. We need an outlet.
Yeah. And I think just even, I don't know that I ever had a single person talk to me about it, you know, like, oh, what do you want to do? Yeah. You want to be a teacher and a coach, whatever, but I don't know that I ever had anybody. So I feel like I was navigating waters by myself, you know? And really what I should have done is, I didn't learn until I was a little bit older, was go seek wisdom go find people who have been there and done that and get advice, right? And see what they did. For me, it was 2 or 3 years and I still kind of felt that. And then I found jujitsu and got into jujitsu and started competing in that a little bit and really enjoyed just going to classes. But I remember, I know the moment, I can tell you the exact moment. I won a tournament, a jujitsu tournament, and I got my hand raised. And I thought, I get way more excited for my athletes than they win than I feel right now.
Yes.
And at that point I knew like, the competition part doesn't matter anymore. Like what stokes my fires now is like being invested in these athletes and seeing them win. And then I knew I'd kind of rekindle the fire that God had put in me, like for wrestling or football and those things for all those years, but to help other kids be able to do the same thing. But it took a few years, man. And I don't want to say I was selfish, but I guess maybe so now that I'm saying it out loud, because as an athlete, you're a little selfish, right? I mean, as an athlete, even when you're trying to glorify God, I mean, I wanted everything I did in wrestling to glorify God, but you put so much time into yourself training and into your team or whatever, because you got to be your best for your team to be their best. So there was a point for me, and I still love to do, like you said, strength conditioning is one of my greatest passions and like to do little competitions. And really it's me competing with myself every single day, but kicking my own tail every single day. And I know you do. And I love it, man. I love that you get after it every single day and you live and lead by example. So, and I know that the athletes you work with, they dig that too. They're like, oh man, Coach Hess gets it in. So,
you know, so one of the things you talked about, like, how you needed to seek out some wisdom and guidance, and just made me think of a time earlier in my life. And I would say once a year at camp, FCA camp, in the morning before practice, coaches would get together and we'd do a little Bible study, a little prayer, a little sharing, that kind of stuff. And that was some of the best times of my life. And then I would leave camp and then I would not have that with anybody. I would not have that community with anybody. And then the next summer I'd go there. Oh, God, I'd be just so filled up, so healthy, so right. And then again, go home. All right, back to doing it yourself, back to being the lone wolf type of guy. And just reiterates what we talked about earlier, just the absolute need. After one of those experiences, that's when I became committed to what can I do different? Because I keep doing the same thing and it continues to let me down. What can I do different now this summer when I return back home? And that's when God put it on my heart, like, you got to bring some coaches together. You got to recreate this.
Yeah.
On a weekly basis throughout the year, not just with the camp experience. So, it's crucial. It's crucial, man. Like so many of our problems, so many of our issues, struggles can be solved, can be corrected, can be made better when we join together and lift each other up, pray for each other, study God's word, apply it to our lives. Bang.
Yeah. Yeah. So at what point, or tell me your salvation story, Coach, when you gave your life to Christ, what allowed you to make that decision? What led you to that decision?
We were Christers. We were Christmas and Easter churchgoers for most of my life. And, I knew some stuff about God, but I didn't know God. And so again, I thought I was a Christian when I was baptized, quite frankly. And somebody asked me that one time later in my life, like, how long have you been a Christian? I thought, that's the stupidest question ever. Like, I was born in America. Isn't everybody a Christian? Like, seriously. I'm in my late 20s at that point. So I didn't understand, honestly. And so my daughter, my youngest daughter, she's 29 currently, but she was about 5 years old and she was going to a church for a vacation Bible school type of thing, performing arts. And we went to watch her that Sunday in this church. And I, the Holy Spirit was in that building and he came into me, and my life's never been the same since that experience. I was 32 years old. God put a hunger in my heart, my mind, my soul for him ever since then. I literally have not stopped since that day trying to, not trying to, but being drawn closer to him. It's been amazing. And my wife was praying for me years before that. She had become a Christian before that. And she didn't pressure me. She just prayed for me. And she knew that if she would have tried to convince me or nag at me, that it would have turned me away. She was just quietly faithful and praying for me. And so, that was the day that my life changed. And as the song says, I'm never going back.
Yeah, that's amazing. And hey, it shows you the value of Vacation Bible School and those type of things, not only for the kids, but for the family, right? Like, it's crazy. You just never know how God's going to work or what he's going to use. We can't put them in a box.
Yes. You just obey and then leave everything else up to him. Do what he tells you to do, and then all results will be up to him.
Yeah.
Right? You just do what you're supposed to do. Like you're doing right now. Like, you, this podcast is leading people to him, and encouraging those who already know him, and helping those people reach other people. And you said that you share my text messages and whatnot. I share your your podcast with so many coaches every week. Oh, this would be perfect for so-and-so. Check this one out, please. And it's just a tremendous blessing, more than you probably are even aware of, coach.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that big time, coach. So, yeah, absolutely. So must be where I got followers. Coach Hess probably, like, all the people listening to the podcast, you probably, cause you send it to them. So, So, all right, coach. Well, you know, cause you listen to the podcast. So how I always like to end these. So, and I know there's something you guys do sometimes with the FCA, but, fast feet is what I call it, right? We're athletes. We got to have quick feet. Yep. So tell me about highlight, a hero, or a hardship, or a little of each. All right. Highlight in your life, a hero for you, or a hardship. Expound upon it.
Yeah. I'll share the hardship. Would be, we have 2 daughters and a son, and we have a son that's in heaven right now. And my wife was, 6 months pregnant with our son, and years ago, in between our 2 daughters, she was pregnant with our boy, and she was in a car accident on the way home from work, and she lost the baby. She had to deliver the baby after the fact, after, you know, he had already passed away. Just the most intense feeling and pain I've ever been in. Not to mention my wife was seriously injured in the experience. And I remember walking into that hospital room, and the doctor told me before I go in, or the nurse before I went in to see my wife, hey, gather yourself, because it's bad. And I'm like, yeah. And like you said, I'm a tough guy. Let me go in there. I went in there, and I could still feel, I never felt my legs turned to noodles. Like, I couldn't even stand up. I collapsed with what I saw and the experience, and it's choking me up right now. But the next day, who's in that room with me but my coach and two of my wrestlers and my coach are right there. And we got through that. You know, God took that horrible experience, and he brought us our daughter. He brought my wife and I closer. He brought me to him, you know. That was a hardship, that God always takes struggles and he makes them good. He takes bad things and he turns them into blessings. And, that's the one that just popped into my head first.
Yeah, that's tough. That's real tough. Man, you know, anyone who, I was just talking to a guy yesterday who had lost a child, you know, and my wife and I have lost one. She was, I think, 3 months pregnant when it happened, but you know, it wasn't the same type of situation. That was a really tough situation. I mean, 6 months is a long time long, and your wife was, you know, hurt in the situation, but I know it's a whole different kind of pain, you know, when someone loses a child. So anyway, because you have a relationship with God and your wife has a relationship with God, like you said, God's able to work good out of it, you know, works good out of all things, man. Even whenever we do not feel like it, even when we don't feel like there could possibly be any good coming out of it at all. Yeah, that makes it tough.
You can't see it in the moment, but you have faith that he will do what he says he will do and what he has always done. And then in retrospect, you often see the good that has come of it, you know?
Yeah.
It's tough when you're in the middle of it. That's when you just hold on. You just hold on.
Yeah. That's
faith, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, before I let you go, lots of coaches listen to this podcast. So, and this is a really broad and general question. So whatever comes into your mind, but what's like just one or two things all your years of coaching experience and all the coaches that you work with, give me one or two pieces of advice that you'd want to leave with coaches right now. Like the coaches that are listening, say, hey, if I could go back and if I could tell myself this as a younger coach, man, I wish I would have done this along the way.
Yeah. Love your student athletes, love your kids, let them know that you love them. Say it, and don't just let the words but the actions back up the words. And don't be afraid of it. It doesn't make you soft, it doesn't make you lesser than, it doesn't make you not competitive, it makes you better, makes you more like God. It makes you more the way he created you to be. It's the message, it's the reason why he gave you that team to work with. It will free those guys and gals up to be all that they were meant to be. I think it's the secret, if you will, to coaching them. Love them.
Yeah, that is huge. I would say that probably made the biggest difference in my life as a coach, whenever I let myself just fully love my athletes and make sure, like you said, my actions backed it up. Mm-hmm. You know? And whenever I realized the coaches that loved me like that were the ones that I still text with today on, you know, they're the ones I still do phone calls with. They're the ones I still can't wait to see. They did that for me in my life. So, well, Coach S, man, thank you so much for being on. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. Thank you for being a mentor for me in my life as a coach. It's huge. Where can people find you on social media?
I was afraid you were going to ask that. Facebook, I know that. Wait a minute.
Got it on one of your cards, probably.
I do. Here we go. Gosh.
Yeah.
FCAWCA on Facebook, Instagram at Coach Hess _ FCA. And THess at FCA.org is my email.
All right. So, and I'll make sure I put those in the show notes. And anybody listening, you know, if you need a mentor in your life or a little bit of advice or whatever, I 100% know if you send a message to Coach, you know, Coach has, whether it's via email or, you know, Facebook Messenger or whatever, he will help you out or he'll find somebody that will. So again, thank you, Coach, for being on, man. I am honored and I can't wait till we get to meet face to face.
Yes, yes, yes. So thankful for you, Coach, man. Love it. And I'm looking forward to that also.
Yes, sir. So, all right, y'all. Well, this has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. May God bless you, smile upon you, and give you peace. Till next time, we're out. Hey, before you go, I just want to tell you thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Coach P's Perspective. And then a couple things that I would ask. One is hit the subscribe button. That way, every single time a new episode comes out, man, as soon as you open up your podcast app, it is right there, ready to roll. You can listen to a new one. The second is, if you would, and we earned it, give us a 5-star review, a quick written review, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts. That's great. You know, one of the ultimate goals is to grow this show and to positively impact as many people as possible, and that helps. And then lastly, jump over to lanefrostbrand.com. Visit my friends over there. You know, this is an incredible company, family-owned, operated, honoring the late, great Lane Frost, who is, you know, a former rodeo champion, was one of my idols growing up, and this is one of my absolute favorite companies. So if you need ball caps, t-shirts, all kinds of apparel, again, go over to lanefrostbrand.com and check them out. Thank you guys again. Much love and God bless.
Podcast complete. Now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins. Tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step. CSL rep. Pop, lock, and rock. Coach P, who never stops.